Expect this to also be a great presentation. There's no pressure there at all. So she's going to be speaking about colorectal cancer screening among patients in the rural South. It looks like your slides want to move on their own. Does risk perception defer procedure? So welcome.
All right, so I'm hoping that I can live up to expectations, but I want to thank everybody for coming. So like Molly said, I'm going to be discussing colorectal cancer screenings, and I have no disclosures to report. All right, so just want to thank let everybody know we're with the University of Florida, and there was a gamut of researchers that participated in this research. We've been working for about 3 years in many different phases. For today's presentation, I'm going to be discussing colorectal screening, specifically a population of patients that have come in for screening, and we've divided them into three groups. We're going to be discussing the demographic differences between the three groups, and then identify some differences in knowledge, perception of risk and benefit, and the context of decision-making among the three groups. So just some background and review of the literature regarding colorectal cancer. It's the second leading cause of cancer death within the United States. In 2010, there were about 52,000 colorectal cancer mortalities. Risk factors for colorectal cancer include tobacco use, which goes along with many of the other cancers, diet, obesity. If you have a diet that's high in fiber, you're at lower risk for developing colorectal cancer. If you have a diet that's, again, high in vegetable usage and fruits, it's more protective. Conversely, a diet that's high in saturated fats or any other types of fats, then you're at increased risk. Colorectal cancer is typically diagnosed through screening procedures or diagnostic procedure, and they are used colonoscopy, sigmoidoscopy, or the fecal immunochemical test, otherwise known as the FIT test. Colonoscopy is the most efficient test. It's typically recommended. However, there's increased cost with colonoscopy versus some of the other tests, and there's also an increased risk. So colonoscopy is associated with some adverse reactions, such as adverse reaction to anesthesia. There could be adverse reaction, so perforation, you could experience a perforation, et cetera. What this map shows is just the general information about screening within the United States. So here, the darker blue states are doing well. So in the Northeast area, these states, about 69 to 75% of the population are quote unquote up to date with screenings. And so the screening recommendations right now is at age 50, and then every 10 years, given that you have a normal colonoscopy result. There are some policy changes that suggest a lower age interval for African Americans, for example, because there's higher morbidity of colorectal cancer among that population. What this map shows, and in this map, the darker blues are actually doing worse off. The darker blues are about 46 to 52% morbidity. So this is the incidence of colorectal cancer per 100,000 within the U.S. And again, here, the darker blue states are doing worse off, and this shows that we've got an issue with increased mortality of colorectal cancer in the southern states, so Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, et cetera. So now I'm going to be talking specifically about Florida, because this is where our research was conducted. This shows the map here, the screening, so the darker blue states are doing better off. 49 to 62% overall are up to an overall sample of 68.2% of populations that are eligible for screening are up to date, and this is self-reported. Here, the darker blue counties are doing worse off, so these show that these counties are at a higher incidence of colorectal cancer. They're spotted throughout Florida, but some of these counties actually have a higher immigration or population, so higher minorities, and that could be associated with the increased morbidity of colorectal cancer. And again, here, the higher counties, the darker counties are doing worse off, and you can see here up in the Panhandle area, these are typically rural counties. They have a distinct minority population. There's lower access to care, decreased socioeconomic status, et cetera, among some of these counties. And here it shows that these are higher rate of cancer, colorectal cancer mortality. So I'm going to be focusing on screenings now. So this is just some of the literature that explains why individuals may not be coming in for their colorectal cancer. So some authors have shown that medical mistrust, again, the colonoscopy does have a significant amount of risk. You have to go under anesthesia, et cetera. Low health literacy. So literature shows that populations that have a lower health literacy have poor compliance with colorectal cancer screenings. And then psychosocial barriers. And some of the psychosocial barriers that were identified include fear of the test. So they're not really sure what's going on with the colonoscopy. I know two people who went and there were some problems and they pinched a hole or punctured a hole in the colon. So everybody sort of knows of that worst case scenario. Even though it doesn't happen that often, these are individuals really know. These are the stories that they hear and that are repeated throughout the community. Fear of cancer itself. So when you hear the word cancer, you don't think of cancer, you think of death. And fear of being a burden on family. And this comes up a lot in a lot of chronic diseases, especially cancers, this burden on family regarding treatment, et cetera. So you figure you should go, and then if it did run into a little situation, now you've got to calculate how many times I got to go back. How much big of a burden is it going to be to put on my family? So then this is, again, just some psychosocial barriers related to screening adherence for colorectal cancer. So the methods and analysis in group for this study, it's part of a large study. The title of the overall study was Health Disparities in Colorectal Cancer Treatment Decision Making. It was a three-phase study, so we started off with gastroenterologists and colonoscopy nurses in Project 1, which we used qualitative methods. Project 2, we were really going to the colonoscopy patients, and this was quantitative and qualitative. So even though we collected surveys on a large participant sample, we also did some follow-ups with qualitative interviews among a subset of individuals. It was multi-site, so we collected at more than one site within our area to get a large, our goal was to get a large population, a normal distribution population. So the purpose of this presentation is to explore the perceived risk and benefits among patients scheduled for the colonoscopy on the day of procedure. Collected, entered, and all of our analysis was done with SPSS 20. So participant sample, they had about 40 questions that participants included or were asked to complete. And one specific question was, is this your first colonoscopy? Yes, and it was the first time it was recommended, or yes, but it was recommended to me before, or no, and how many of you had before? And based on these responses, we coded them into three groups: first timers, if you will, delayers, and procedure veterans. Okay? A total sample included in this analysis is about 1,757. The mean age was 53. Overall sample was 62% female, mostly white at about 77%. Mean years of education was 14.23, and about a quarter of the overall sample reported an income less than $20,000 annually. Okay, and then the other three groups, so about one-third were first-timers. They reported it was their first colonoscopy. 9% were delayers, so it was recommended to them at a prior time. And majority, 58%, were procedure veterans, so they've come into the procedure before. So the research questions included in this analysis, we just wanted to see how the three groups differ demographically is the first question. So procedure veterans were older, about 57. That was significant findings. You should know that although screenings are recommended at 53, we did have a distinct sample that were coming in for surveillance, so of issues of Crohn's disease or IBS, and therefore they were there for repeat screen or repeat procedures, if you will. So they did tend to be older. There were no significant findings in gender distribution. However, the procedure veterans were more white, if you will, significantly. So 82% of the procedure veterans were white compared to 69 and 78% of the other two groups. Another significant finding is income. And so that has some implications for perhaps why they may have been delayers or they haven't gotten recommended the procedure before. So 35% of your first-time population reported an income less than $20,000 compared to only 20% of the procedure veterans. So our next question, we wanted to know how the three groups differ based on knowledge. So we analyzed this with three of the survey questions. Questions were, how informed about colonoscopy do you think you are? And the answer choices were 1, not at all, to 5, extremely. So in this case, a 5, a higher number is better. How informed about colonoscopy is the first one. How informed about colorectal cancer, same choice options. And then how concerned about colorectal cancer are you? What we found is that there were significant findings among all three questions. Procedure veterans were more informed about colonoscopy, more informed about colorectal cancer, and they were also more concerned about colorectal cancer compared to the other two groups. There were no significant differences in concern about colorectal cancer between the first-timers and the delayers. However, there was a significant difference between the delayers and the first-timers regarding to informed about colorectal cancer. So the delayers, if you think about it, they've been to a doctor and a doctor have already talked to them about getting the colonoscopy screening and probably talked to them about colorectal cancer. So they reported being more informed than the first-timers, the ones that are coming in. This is the first time it was recommended. So how do the three groups differ based on perceptions of risk and benefit? So our first question was, how much benefit is it? Again, a 10 is a higher number. A higher number is better, so more benefit to your health. And then how much risk do you think the colonoscopy is? And a lower number is better. What we found is there were significant findings in both groups, in both questions. Procedure veterans perceived higher benefit than first-timers. They also perceived higher risk, and this could be because they've gone into appointments, so they've gotten that pre-talk from the anesthesiologist, the gastroenterologist, and talked to them about the actual risk of procedure. And then we asked them whether or not the decision was hard for them to make and if they felt pressure from others to have the colonoscopy. There were significant findings on both of these questions. Procedure veterans found that the decision was harder to make and they found that they felt more pressure from others. I'm sorry, that they disagreed with the statement that they felt more pressure than others. Some general overall population differences. Women perceived higher benefit than men. Those with a high school education, with just a high school education, perceived higher benefit than those with less than a high school education, and also those with college education. Blacks perceived higher benefit than whites. And those with an income that was greater than $20,000 a year perceived a higher benefit than those with an income that was less than $20,000. Regarding risk, women perceived higher risk than men. Those that were not employed perceived higher risk to procedure, but there were no race or ethnic differences found within this question. So implications suggest that there should be further research conducted to explore the risk and benefit perceptions of colonoscopy. More in-depth research to understand why some delay colonoscopy. One thing to note is our sample was they were all scheduled on the day of procedure. So we are only getting that positive sample that have actually navigated the healthcare system up until that point. So it's one thing to understand. And our suggestions for future research is to get at the population that have not yet navigated the system to get into a colonoscopy. So again, strength of sample size and our multi-site recruitment. Some limitations is, again, our sample was about 63% female, but we income was skewed and also race distribution was skewed among our sample. We have any questions? In general, just to let you know, our research was funded by the Bankhead Coley Cancer Research Program under PI Barbara Cabot, and it received IRB 01 approval. But because what we didn't do is we didn't for this analysis separate those that were getting a diagnostic versus a screening procedure. And that's where that issue of age is going to come in. Typically, those that are getting diagnostic procedures are going to be younger. So they may be having some sort of symptoms, and that's why they're coming in and for this colonoscopy. And then, again, if it's surveillance, so they've got Crohn's. And Crohn's, in some cases, the first symptoms report in college age. So we do have a subsample that's under the age of 30 that were still included that may have brought the mean down. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just have to admit that I couldn't understand the superscript letters A, B, C, D in your table. Do you want to just explain those?
Yes, okay. So I can try and go back to it. So what we did is an analysis to find out who differs from who. So for example, on this for this table, the first-timers differ from the delayers, and they also differ from the procedure veterans. However, they may not differ, the delayers do not differ from the procedure veterans, so they're both labeled B. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the first-timers...
Yes.
Well, the first, it just shows where the differences lie and if there are differences. So if the two have like B and B on this table for the first one, decision was hard to make. There is no difference between the delayers and the procedure veterans in the actual mean. But there was a significant difference between the first timers. So. Do I have any other questions? Thank you.